All right, the joy of sharing the gospel.
What is the gospel? You know, if we're going to have any joy in sharing the gospel, we got to know what it is. And all I did, the best short synopsis of the gospel is, of course, the Roman road. It basically goes through where we are, how we are, and how we get to be saved. I just took the last verse because we've been through that, and I expanded. It's just not verse 10. So Romans 10, 8 through 10. Do you have that, Sally? I mean, if you have your Bibles, you don't have to worry about opening it. I want you to more listen tonight and think than study. I mean, you can write down some things. If you got 8 through 10, Sally, go ahead. Otherwise, I'll read
them. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation.
And I put 11. For the scripture says, I didn't tell you to read that. For whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I love that tag on verse 11. Mm-hmm. Okay, three sentences. Rita, because I know you've done it. What's the gospel? If I stand up here. Okay.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Okay, we've established where we are. You don't have to do verse by verse. Okay. Just tell me the gospel. Like,
Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose, and was with God in heaven, and all who believe in that in faith will be saved.
Okay, that's a short synopsis of the gospel. The real key here, once you give them the basics, is there's two things that have to happen, and it says it in verse 10. For with the heart, the person believes. The heart has to change. There's a belief in the heart resulting, and with the mouth, he confesses. Well, the two are kind of interchangeable because what's in the heart will come out of the mouth. But we can get this knowledge, and we can say all these things, but I notice that these are different. You know, he didn't say just one. With the heart, you believe, and you're good. But he says with your mouth, you need to confess it. That you will change because you're confessing it. That's what we're talking about in sharing the gospel. We need to confess it. And it's confessed by how we live. If we're kind to one another now, what comes out of our mouth exposes what's in our heart. So that's just in a nutshell. And with the mouth, you have to confess it out loud. It's not a private, keep-to-yourself matter. You know, many people believe, you know, I just don't think we should talk about that. It's private. That's not what the Lord says we should do with that. And that doesn't mean be rude. That doesn't mean sharing the gospel at inappropriate times. It just means we need to share the gospel. And it basically, and I don't want to get ahead in my stuff. If you can't help it but talk about it, and it consumes your mind. You know, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you will be thinking about that. You'll be thinking about, how am I representing Christ today? Is there an opportunity to actually share the gospel with someone? You know, you may not have that opportunity every day. I understand that. I don't have that opportunity every day. But when it does come up, am I ready? Luke 19 says, and this was Palm Sunday. You don't have, if you've got it, if you don't, just listen. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had been shouting. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the very stones will cry out. So basically he's saying, we need to exalt the Lord. And if we don't, we're not being true disciples of his. How many have been to Israel? So there's quite a few in this group. I just remember, we just went last year for the first time, and I remember he was nearing the descent to the Mount of Olives. And if you're going down to the Mount of Olives, what's on this other side? The Temple Mount. Mm-hmm. So you can look straight across to the Temple Mount, and I was thinking of him going down the Mount of Olives. All he has to go is up to, and that's where he was going to be judged. And they were the disciples, and it wasn't just his disciples. It was all the people at that time that were exalting him that will later turn on him in 1 week and say, crucify him. So he's basically saying, we need to exalt. So if you don't ever want to talk about what God is doing in your life, or you don't want to talk about anything spiritual that you've been learning. Now, I understand when I say these things, I'm not going to talk about biblical things all the time. You know me. I like to have a nice, fun time. But if you don't have any desire to talk about those things, there's a serious problem, and we're going to talk about that serious problem. Okay, your heart. If you believe in your heart what God says about your salvation, these verses in Philippians 2 remind us that your behavior will become more righteous. And not that more righteousness saves you, but it's a result. I've been listening to the messages on Bot Radio, and it seems like all of them are talking about work out your salvation. I actually have, yes, this is the verses I have for that. Not work for your salvation, work out your salvation. When we get saved, we're not done. We are to be working out our salvation. One of those things that we're working out is being better at sharing the gospel. The older I get, the more I see the need to share the gospel. Philippians 2:12 says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do I do that? Well, it's God who is in work at me both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So as we work it out, this is my adding, we are living more righteously. So what does that look like? Well, what's it say? The next, do all things without grumbling and disputing. That's one way. Is it hot in here?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'll just do it instead of trying to describe what. I think you have to keep hitting this thing or else. Oh my goodness, it's on 80 already.
Whew.
Well, it automatically resets. We'll get it down to. Yeah. Usually when I start talking, I just get hot. So I had to ask you guys. All right, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Hopefully I didn't complain about that.
It was just stating a fact.
I'm just asking. I mean, I'm trying to, you know. And why do we do all things without grumbling and disputing? What's the next part of that verse? Do you remember if you're not reading it? So that you prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and we're lights in the world. So working out our salvation means that I'm going to be a good testimony. And you got to be a good testimony if you're going to share the gospel. In fact, I will say, don't bother sharing the gospel if you're known for grumbling, if you're known for not watching your tongue. Don't bother. You've got to be a good testimony. So your behavior and your thought process should drastically change after you've been saved. Think back when you became saved. If you can pinpoint a time, great. Or think back the 6 month time when you really saw that there was a change in your life. How are you compared to that time spiritually? Now, some of us, that's a long time. Some of us, not so long time. Can you see a difference in your life? Can you see that your desire is to please him more and more? I hope so, because that's a sign of salvation. All right, the serious problem. If you haven't changed that much, you may have deceived yourself into thinking you are saved. And you would think in a church like this, we wouldn't have to say something like that, but you do. Because Satan, more accurately, Satan has deceived you into thinking you're saved. He loves to deceive us. Well, an unsaved person wouldn't come to church every day. Don't let Satan deceive you. I do this and do that. I heard a really interesting thing. Are Christians, do they not sin very often? That's a kind of a tricky question, isn't it?
We're all sinners.
We're all sinners, but we're saved. Do we continue to sin?
Yes, we do.
But we do. What's the difference between the unbeliever sinning and the believer sinning?
They can forget.
We know.
Those are all correct answers, not the ones I want.
We repent.
We repent. And there's a sorrow that unbelievers don't have. Unbelievers will say, well, I was just in a bad mood that day, and you know, they'll make an excuse. The believer sins, and he will say, I've sinned against you, Lord. I am sorry about that. Help me to repent, which is the 180-degree turn, from this behavior, not do this again. That's the difference. I was hearing another message that talked about how David, Solomon, was told by God to be like his father David. I want you to be like your father David. Well, what did David do? He had a year where he was in deep, deep sin. What's the difference? He said, you and you alone I have sinned. He fessed up to it. That's the difference. If believers are still going to sin, but the repentance and the humility that comes with that is vital if you're a true believer. So keep that in mind. That was for free.
No charge.
No charge. All right. And we're commanded to do it. Okay. What's next on your...
It's Matthew 28.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
16 to
20. I only have 5 pages in I-6. And I've...
9.
All right. Matthew is just the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He wants us to go out and make disciples. Turn to Ephesians 4 if you have your Bible. This is the one, and we'll read through it if you don't have your Bible, and then I'll get to these pictures. This is a really good synopsis of what we were and what we need to become. You know, salvation is what Rita just said. It's believing that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He died on the cross for my sin so I can have a personal relationship with Him. One thing that was really important in Uganda is we told them there's a God and He's holy, and we're a person and we're not. How are we going to get there? And they thought, oh, we can't. You know, that's what Jesus did for us. He restored that perfection. So once I become saved and I believe Christ is the only way to heaven, that's not where we end. Believing that changes our lives. It will change our behavior. Okay, Ephesians 4, 7, starting in verse 17, it says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk." Okay, how does an unbeliever walk? This is a really good list of how unbelievers. In the futility of their mind. Someone tell me what futility means.
Worthless.
Emptiness, yeah, worthless. Being darkened in their understanding. Who's doing that?
Satan.
Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. And because of the hardness of their heart. So not only can they not see the light, they have hardness of their heart. And they become callous. You know, during the summer months, I get really callous from mowing. Mm-hmm. I can stick pins in there. I can pick up hot things that Greg says, get it. Oh, I don't need to now. My hands are so calloused. Mm-hmm. I don't even feel it. So, and in the summertime, in February, if I did that, I'd be dying. I'd become callous. You just can't feel anything. Can you imagine your heart becoming callous where you can't feel anything, or it's not moldable? And then what's happened? It's given them over to sensuality for practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If you indeed, you have heard him and have been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus. That in reference to your former life, you lay aside your old self. That's what we're talking about, putting on the newness of Christ. And verse 25, therefore, I'm going to lay aside the falsehood. I'm going to speak truth, one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on their wrath. It just keeps talking about things that are good suggestions of what happens when you have a transformed life. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for the edification according to the need of the moment. Now, have we conquered that yet, believers? For 75,000 years, we still don't always say what's important for the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with
all malice.
What is my problem? Now, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. That's quite a list.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great list? Mm. What we're to put away, the wrath and anger and clamor and slander, put those things away. So I just like that passage because it talks about what we were and what we've now become. The salvation process, we're not going to go through. I just found this list in my on my laptop of what happens in the process of our salvation. It's good to go through these verses. We're not going to do that, but our eyes are open. We see how we truly are, lost we are. We realize we're in trouble. I think that's a step that people can't get beyond. I can get almost everybody in Lincoln, Nebraska to admit they're a sinner. But to realize that they are in trouble and they can't get to heaven, I'm not sure I'll agree with that. So we repent. We humble ourselves before God and others. I think that's a real sign that salvation has happened. When you see someone humbling themselves before their fellow believer and before God, and then we confess verbally our repentance. That's sharing the gospel. All right, sharing the gospel. All this passage is in Luke is the parable of the soils. That's just the explanation of it. Realize when you go out that some seed will fall on absolutely hard hearts. They'll say goodbye, thank you very much, see you later. And some seed will actually look like it's growing. The other three seeds look like they're growing, but only one is genuine. The worries of the world choke out one seed that sprouts up, and the other one, what is the other one? Oh, the rocky soil, that they receive it with joy. Oh, the ones that the devil takes away?
The thorns.
They're choked out by the thorns, that's right. So there's only really a fourth of the seeds that we produce when we share the gospel that could possibly actually result in true believers. All right. The famous excuse list. Twyla gave this to me and showed me a chapter on his. It's Unsilenced.
What's the name of it?
It's called Unsilenced. Unsilenced, How to Voice the Gospel. Very practical. You've gone through it, I think, Sally, with Twyla. Yeah. But there's one chapter that says the famous excuse list. And we're just going to go through this quickly. The church services are the best way to reach people, some people think. You don't really believe the unreached will go to hell. I think that's a genuine thing. You think, well, if they've never been shared with the gospel, they're probably going to heaven. And that's not true. People that have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior are going to hell. Seems unfair, but the Lord has chosen us. That's why we need to take with great gratitude, if we've been saved, to be thankful for that. Share your faith, but be friends first. I don't necessarily disagree with that statement, But I do believe you need to establish a good testimony. That doesn't mean I have to be your best friend before I can share the gospel. You can share the gospel at any time, but be a good testimony if you are working with them. Most people are led to Jesus through a close friend. Not necessarily. Everyone in my area has already heard this. I used to think that. But you go to the mall and talk to a young kid. I remember doing this at our mall and say, now what does Easter really mean? They had, the group of the kids had no idea what Easter was about. They honestly thought it was about a bunny and do you know any spiritual significance? Had no idea what it is. So we're in a very unchurched time. You know, back in the 50s, I think everybody would have had a basic understanding that God and about God and Jesus, but we don't anymore. There are people that don't go to church. Lots of people that don't even go to mainstream churches. Fear, and I think this is the biggest issue with most people. I don't know what to say, you know. Then prepare. Prepare and share. I always think, are you saved? Then you can share the gospel. Because if you are saved, you know what Jesus Christ did for you. Just share what happened to you. I realize that. What I understand. If it doesn't come easily for you, practice in front of a mirror. I'm scared what people will think. Basically, you get to a point where we have to fear God. And Luke 12 says, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will warn to you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. And it's not only about for sharing the gospel, and this is what I found to be true, and we'll get going on here. It's not about just the lost. I put down three things, and you can share more of what happens when I share the gospel. The joy you get out of it, even if they reject you. This is something I know pleased the Lord, that I shared the gospel. There is no greater joy than sharing the gospel, whether they reject it or they accept it. The encouragement to others to share. You know, if I see someone sharing the gospel or hear a story about someone sharing the gospel, that reminds me. I need to be doing that too. It's an encouragement to share. And God is glorified, I think I said that, and pleased. There is no greater aroma that we can give as an offering to him than sharing the gospel. So it's not just about the lost, it's about, we get lots of benefits from that too. And I'll share this one time. We went to the mall, and I'm driving to the mall, and I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this today. And it's that three-way out-of-body, wow, the devil does not want me to do this. You will constantly fight that influence from the devil if you're going to do something like sharing the gospel. He doesn't care if I'm going to a football game. He cares when I'm going to share the gospel. He'll put doubts and all kinds of stuff in your head. And me, who doesn't care about what people say, and I'm comfortable in front of people, and I'm going, I don't want to do this. Where does that come from? That comes from Satan. So, all right, last two verses. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's powerful. That's why you don't have to worry about if I have all the perfect words. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Power, just remember, the power is in the truth. It's not in if you're an eloquent speaker. And then Hebrews 4, what you're dealing with, the book that you're dealing with, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When you present the gospel and you use his word, it's going to judge their hearts. And they may not respond very good initially. I like to say yes when Twyla wants to go somewhere because I don't share the gospel that intently here. I'm distracted with my family. I'm distracted with things I have to get done at home. It's good for me to go away and do something like that because I'm much more willing to do that, and now it's equipped me to be more willing to do it here. So there's someone that said there's no such thing as having the gift of evangelism. I believe there is because the Bible says there is. But we all need to share. And we all need to take the opportunities we get, and we know when they are, to share. And it doesn't have to be a long, eloquent, I have to know all the answers. I'm just telling you that we're sinners and we can't approach a holy God without a mediator. And that's basically the story. Now, if you're convicted, welcome to the club. Because either I fail in so many areas when I can see I could be more effective as, but studies like this help me do this. And doing this too. All right. Trip to Peru. That is Jorge is on the right. It's spelled George, J-O-R-G, but they never pronounce the letter J in anything that they have. His wife, Janet, and they called her Janet. I mean, we didn't know who they were talking about at first, and it's Janet. You can pray for Janet. Both Phila and I, the last time we were there, believe she's a little bit of a Martha, that spiritual things are not the top of her list. Making sure everyone has food, making sure the kids all have clothes, which is a great thing. But we never saw a time where she was wanted to get together with the ladies and talk about spiritual things. And she, basically, we went to their house and had a time where we just encouraged her. She's spent. She just is tired. She's tired of the ministry. She's doing it all. Now, their church is only about 20 people, but nobody else is doing anything. That's what happens when you're a Martha. If you're not working with the Spirit of the Lord, you burn out. And we suggested there's godly women in this church. Ask them to help. But Janet likes things done a certain way. And if you can't be willing to adjust with that, you're going to burn out. So you can pray for her. Jorge, I think, has pretty good intentions with stuff. All right.
Chris.
Yes.
Would you explain how you hook up with these people?
Actually, I wish Marcia was here because she could explain. We went back this time for their 12-year anniversary of their church. Twyla, Marcia, and Amanda went to do an Andean trek. They went to a restaurant, and Jorge was their server.
Waiter.
Were you there, too?
No, but I've heard
okay.
this story.
Tell me if I'm telling it correctly.
You're right.
Anyway, they left a good tip, and they left a Bible and some materials for him, not knowing he was a believer. They left the restaurant.
Oh, I thought they just left.
Did they? Okay, they just left a track. I thought he... No, she sent him a Bible. That's right. Well, you guys have heard the story. But but correct me, I told you. Anyway, he came running out of the restaurant saying, I'm a Christian. I've been wanting to be learn more about God, and we need a church. And long story short...
Are you a Christian?
Twyla sent him a Bible, and he became a pastor to start a church there. So every year we've gone back for a trek. This is the first time we've gone back. We haven't done a trek. And that's a five-day killer high. Sally knows. But that's how this started. So then we go back and we take, so we know their needs. So thank you for asking that. This is one of the little boys that came to, and these are just pictures I put for my Iwana kids. You're getting my Iwana kids picture. But that was his pet, and he stayed on his shoulder the whole time. You'll see in the next video where they're singing songs. He's just sitting there as the boy's doing the actions and just sits on his shoulder the whole time. And, yes, the back of his coat is full of poop. Yes. So, but he was pretty cute. Recognize the tune? This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. That's what they were singing. That's Janet. She always leads the music. They're very good with the kids. This was another one. These were two separate times. We were there two Saturdays. This was one Saturday. That. what that one is. So I did want to point out to you, there's the parrot.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see if you see what he's doing there. He's just sitting there the whole time. So, this was Sunday morning. They do have guitars. Luis is the tall one. He's the one that did my translating.
He's the son of
Jorge. Holy, holy. It's fun to listen to their words because I sing it in English and all the little kids are going, what are you having?
What's wrong with your mouth? Yeah.
This was a gal that Twyla shared the gospel with 3 years ago. And she became a believer, and Twyla was excited that she was still there, still at the church and learning about the Lord. So Twyla looks really tired there. This was Tampamache. It's about 5 miles up from Cusco. Cusco kind of is in a valley, but it goes up both sides of the mountain. This is 5 more miles up the mountain, and this is a community that has no church. They go up twice a week, and this was Sunday afternoon, and they have the kids. What Jorge does is he takes a speaker, plugs in his iPhone, plays Christian music, and the kids come running. It's time to come down. So when they hear the music, they come on down. They do a lesson, and we had a craft for them too. And we were responsible for that. I was able to talk about the walls of Jericho, and then we made shakers, so they enjoy that. This is them singing. But you'll notice the country is full of dogs. There are dogs everywhere, and they're all pretty tame. But I was telling Shelley, I didn't see one that was the same as the other one. I mean, they were just all different kinds of dogs. Never saw a pack of this type of dog. No, they were just all over the place. Nobody keeps them for a pet, but
they all feed them.
But they feed them, yeah. This was Luis translating for me, The Walls of Jericho. And they bring these... This is an abandoned Catholic church. They built it, and the priest never came. So they've been using this for a couple years. Well, there's a priest now. They want to put a priest in there, so they may lose that church. So they're praying about building something there. They just don't have much money at all.
It'd be nice if they could share the church.
Yeah. I don't know why they couldn't. Yeah.
Do your thing in the morning.
There they are in line with the solo cups that Judy donated. She didn't realize she donated them, but she said, anybody need anything, do anything with these? So we made shakers. We took blue and red and put duct tape, and I bought little pieces of macaroni at a store there. So they had wonderful shakers. We're putting them together here, and they waited very patiently in the line. And this is them shaking them.
Yeah.
They were so excited to have something.
Them.
Yep.
And
this was the day we shared the gospel in Tampamache with the parents of the kids that come. They're trying to establish that how they go about things is they go into the community, get a program for the kids, which the parents love. Go for an hour and we have some peace and quiet. But then they visit the places that the kids are, and then they try to establish a relationship with them and get a Bible study going with them. In Tampamache, they finally got a little Bible study. I wanted to point out here several things. This is the backyard. We see a sheep. There's some chickens. We see dishes. We see potatoes, and we see toothbrushes. I mean, we're talking, everything's right there, and it's not very terribly sanitary, that's for sure. This was the, Twyla shared the gospel. Twyla and I switched off on sharing the gospel with these. There's a lady with a child and a younger gal. And they listened intently, but they just didn't respond at all. It was kind of like, boom, went off their head. They were very kind, very nice, but didn't really respond. There's the baby.
Did everything have to be translated?
Yes. Yeah. These people knew Spanish. When we got into another community, and I'll get to that in a little bit here, this is the guy that was trying out to be a police officer the next day. He had his major exam the next day. He was willing to listened to the gospel. I had the opportunity to share the gospel with him. And he said, I think this is something I want to believe. This shocked the heck out of me. Because I would think, this is an established young man. He said, I want to believe that. Let me take you into my soon-to-be home. He was trying to build this home. It basically had a table over here, and that was it. What we're sitting in, that was it. But he sat down and he listened to lots of things. He gave him a Bible. We prayed with him. He said, I need the Lord in my life. So it was pretty cool. This was two young men over there, Jorge and Janet there. And then there was a mom. She also translated for us, a friend of Luis's. But I think they may have been believers, but they wanted to hear it again. So tell us again. So it was kind of cool. Twyla got that group. There's the boys looking at the booklets. And the booklets are in Spanish. This is the neatest story. Look at Miss Sombrero woman there. I mean, it's not Sombrero, but you know, you see those pictures of... She didn't want to talk to anyone. She didn't want to look at anyone. And Twyla started talking to her through the translator, and she walked away from her. Well, Jorge said, like, in Spanish, because I don't understand it, I wait a second. And she listened to him, and that's how she started. And we watched a miracle. She started to soften. Her face started to relax. Then she looked down. She started crying. And basically wanted to give her life to Christ. I have never seen, and we couldn't understand anything he was saying. We were just watching the transformation happen with her face. Now, we did find out that she wanted prayer for her son who was in prison. She just has a burden for her son who is in prison. We wanted to go back there and get her some materials, but we never saw her again. And everything's locked up, so if they're gone, they lock everything up. But she was just an angry woman, and I just thought, oh, you know, it's one of those where, let's move on. You know, she's not worthy of it. She softened and ended up tears in her eyes. You could see when people give their lives, when they soften a little bit, I think they become more youthful. Yeah, I think when we're so rigid and grumpy, when you saw her smile, I said, oh, man, it's a different person. It is. It is, and to see her disposition change was amazing. Because like we couldn't understand anything they were saying.
You didn't get an after picture, though.
No, I didn't, because it was we moved over here for some reason.
And then she would have seen you taking it.
I remember she had a pretty big cut on her toe, and it was dirty. And so the next day I brought some Band-Aids that I brought, but we never saw her again. So I don't know what her name is, but pray that she remembers that day. And I'm sure Jorge went back. But that was a cool one. This guy, we were walking to the bus, and the angle you see is the angle it was. That's his farmland. And he was picking away at it. That's how he was plowing. And I don't know, it wasn't even Twyla. It was, I think, Janet that said, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ in Spanish? Well, he was a devout Catholic. So we talked to him and basically talked him through that what he believed wasn't true. And he said, you know, I think you're right. We shouldn't require work. So gave him some materials. So, but if you see, and I need to remember this for my paper out, that is a trash bag he has. And he's got it tied here around him, and he tied it down here. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an amazing
thing. What do they grow there?
Whatever they can. Potatoes.
And grow much.
Corn. Maize.
Yeah, they have corn. I have a picture at the end of that maze. They grow lots of stuff we do here. So I'm not sure what he would grow there.
Chris, when you say you're giving them material, what language do you give it?
Spanish. Now, there's another language. Well, I'll get to that in a second. We did bring a lot of stuff, and they were very happy. They knew who needed stuff, which was great. We just gave them all the clothes. They're separating them now. And there's a summer music camp t-shirts there. Oh, man, did they love those. They love shirts that match. They wore every time. We gave them to them early, and we saw them every time we were together with them. So, and I'm friends with Luis on Facebook, and he went on a trip, and I saw the summer music camp T-shirt he wore. He took with him. Luis is the 19-year-old. This was fun because shared the gospel with her and her daughter, and they aren't. I see them on the Facebook. I'm friends with the church on Facebook, and I saw that them two there doing the fundamentals of faith. They're going to the church, the Tomo Maché church. So they, but I said this to Raquel because that's Winston's shoes that we gave him. So we called him the pee boy because he peed the whole time we were sharing the gospel. So that's something you don't need to know. But you know, you can use
no charge.
You can use that's free too. You may want to get a refund on that one. You can stay in the shade the way however you want. This was that same place that I showed you the toothbrush and the potatoes and the sheep. This is, we went back and gave them clothes. And they, you know, you've never seen them so thankful for shoes that don't have holes in them. And it's a little different in Uganda because Uganda's always 70 or 75 or 80 degrees. Here it's not. It's cold. And it doesn't get below freezing, but it can be in the 40s sometimes at night. So,
like this morning.
This was fun. This was the other, we drove about 2 hours to a community that was Janet's brother. Mm-hmm. And there's no church there. There's nothing there. Well, we got there a little early, and the school had let out, and all these children are walking by. And I happened to show that I had some candy. Oh my goodness, the whole school came, and we ended up giving them candy and these booklets, which are in Spanish, and they can read Spanish. So, I forgot I put this video.
Are those our school uniforms?
Yes. Then? Yeah. They were heading home from school. And I told them, all right, everybody give me a hug, give me a hug. And they didn't understand me at first. I forgot this video was in. Hug, 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 hug. Then they understood. Here they come. They just thought that was the dorkiest thing. So, but here they are looking at the booklets. And then these are some of the girls that actually live there, and they just read every word. And this booklet is what Twyla found from Discovery, this guy that goes from Genesis all the way to the resurrection.
Yeah. It's a wonderful book, and it's in pictures.
Pictures.
We took it to Uganda, too.
Yeah, he's got a lot of languages for it.
He does.
And it's good for adults, even, too. This was fun because these lady were, they were going to feed about 40 people. So they brought in potatoes. Everybody brought in a little bit. It's kind of like the soup. The guy has the onion and puts in the soup. So I sat down and started peeling potatoes with them. I can't speak their language. I just helped them. They were doing very slowly with the carrots. And I said, give me a knife. And I'm they're going. I mean, I was doing it really fast. And they were like. And one lady through a translation, do you know how to cook? You know, because I think they think Americans just go out to eat.
Yeah, well, or you have a maid that cooks for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, probably. But we did potatoes. We had peas. We depotted the peas. Boy, that's a long process.
It's called shelling.
I'd rather go to the store and get my couple pounds of peas. These kids were outside. They just knew that there were white people there, and that's just a draw. This little girl, Tim and Shelley, sent me shakers and recorders, and I gave her this, and she just looked at him. And I took her arm and went like this. Oh, it makes noise. So I took a little video. She had face planted, that's why she, but she didn't even know what that did. So this is kind of funny. I'll show it to you in a second. These are recorders and the shakers. And when you're like Paul, you say, I'll do whatever I need to do to further the gospel. This would be one of those instances. They had music going, and so we had to get in a circle, which I thought, I can do this. Well, here's Mama. This is the oldest lady over here. We're going to dance in the middle with everyone else. So she's going like this. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And I had no idea Twyla was recording this. But then she wanted to spin me around. It was so weird. And she was having the time of her life, and I was as awkward as all get out. So, all right, we'll move on. We'll move on. I do have one of Twyla, but she forced me to delete it. So, this is her sharing with the people there. Twyla is in the gray. You'll see two translators. One takes the English to Spanish. The other takes the Spanish to Quechua. These people spoke Quechua. Mm-hmm. So who knows what they heard? You know, it's the telephone game from here to there to there. Now, Luis is a believer, so Luis would translate it correctly, but Spanish. But the man on the end then told them in Quechua. So we had two translators, so it was kind of weird. But they had their Bibles, and they were studying. And this is an unchurched community. You know, I'm thinking, if I became a believer in an unchurched community, what would I do? You'd have to learn on your, you'd trust the Holy Spirit. So this is their matching shirts. We took some out to them. They loved it. They wanted to put them on right away.
That should be shown to the music camp kids.
Andrew has these pictures, I think. These boys were ornery but cute. This was going to Jorge's house from our hotel. What?
Typical terrain.
Yeah. And this was in the city, you know, so we went
from Cusco.
Went up there, and, you know, I forget, Cusco's at 11,000 feet. So the lowest we were at was 11,000 feet the whole trip. And that, if you see, right, the only reason this is on here was, there's, see the size of that corn? That was the maize. It was absolutely delicious. So, and
looks like
grapes. This is a potato, and this is chicken, and I ate all of it. It was really good. Normally, I wouldn't eat anything. And that's Cusco. That's actually from their church. A picture from their church, which is actually a house. Their church is a house that's been renovated. And this is a soccer field right there. So pretty.
What's the population of Cusco?
A couple million, I thought.
Was it that big?
Yeah. I thought. I'll look that up. I may be exaggerating. I'll look that up before we go. But that's the last picture. So, any questions about what we went through?
How long were you there?
We were there Saturday, so probably 9 days.
Wow, you got a lot done in 9 days.
Yeah. Well, Twyla told him if we come back, because Jorge wants us to come back. He wants to come. He emails Twyla once a month. When are you coming back? When are you coming back? So she said, if we come back, we don't have a tour, which means we want to be busy every day. You have something planned. So he had things planned because he's not a planner, but he had the one community and the other community that we went to, and we shared the gospel one day, and then we worked with kids the other day. So yeah,
it says 428,450.
Okay, then I must be thinking Lima.
Yeah,
Lima's
a lot better.
That's right. Cusco's quite a bit smaller, but still, that's more than Lincoln.
428,450.
And it's in a small area.
Yeah, it's just one on top of the other.
Yeah.
And I was there in 1970.